We swear, we stutter, we interrupt each other. We try not to interrupt each other, but...
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're talking to guest Michael Sturm. We're discussing what it's like to live in a post-truth society, what weapons we need to employ, and how we can combat disinformation.
We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hey, hey.
And Tim Wick.
Or am I?
Dun, dun, dun. And we have a guest with us today, our good friend, Michael Sturm.
Hello.
And we are here to talk about the death of truth, because in society, it is pretty much the death knell right now for things being true between the government, between AI deepfakes, the new generational AI imagery that came out from Hollywood, spoofs. It's a pretty crazy time right now. And Michael wants to talk about it.
Thrilled to be here.
Yeah.
We begged him to come on and talk with us.
We're like, we don't know what to talk about.
Well, and also
talk
like
about truth.
Like, even the people that are excited to talk about the topic, it's like, yeah. I'm so excited about this downer.
Can't wait to talk like, about the fact that we live in a post-truth society.
It's crazy. I would have always thought from my youth that living in a cyberpunk nightmare would be way more radical.
I want a metal arm.
I learned that from the pandemic, too. All these things are just terribly boring and sad.
Right, yeah.
Nothing like finding out exactly how selfish everyone you know is.
Yeah. I have thought a lot about it. I'm not sure I actually want to talk about it, but I have a lot about it.
Well, this is the place to talk about things you've thought about but don't really want to talk about.
Let's go.
So here's a question for the panel, as it were. What have you seen recently? Have you gotten faked out recently? Have you gotten tricked by anything? Have you watched something and had someone point out that it was AI generated and you'd be like, no, seriously? Or anything like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have.
What happened?
It was the dregs. We have our little group chat.
And yeah.
You know, we haven't gotten together much in the last couple of months, but we're like, okay, what protest songs are we going to learn? Because we know people are going to ask us to sing them.
Yeah.
And I think I saw you say something about this too, Michael, but Paul shared a sort of Irish version of Bruce Springsteen's Streets of Minneapolis.
Well, sure.
I stayed out of that, but I know what you're going. I know where you're going.
And we're like, oh, well, because frankly, it's like Bruce is not my vibe. We were actually talking about doing the Billy Bragg song. But
yeah.
I'm like, I'd do this version. I'd do this version if somebody asks. And it turns out it's AI.
Okay.
Incredibly AI.
It's like,
shit. AI.
Oh, man. Fuck. I got by my mom. My mom is notorious for sending AI videos. Oh, that should have been my first clue. Yeah. But she just sent a video of it was a husky acting crazy at the vet and being like, oh, and like laying down all dramatically and making yelping noises when the vet came at them with a needle. And my sister, who is also in this chat, goes, that's fake. That's AI. And I was like, what? And I was like, is it really? And she's like, yeah. So she's a vet tech and she could tell by all the protocols that were being ignored with the vaccine and the needle and how there was only one, there was not a second person and all this stuff. She's like, that's generated. I can tell you right now, no, if a vet filmed this, they'd be fired.
Right.
And so it was like, oh man. Like and that was one where I'm usually really good at spotting it. And that really got me.
I think we all feel like we're really good at spotting it, but some things have to fly by. The thing that got me, and it didn't actually get me, but I watched it happen in real time, was if we watched the Bad Bunny halftime show, and like how many headlines said that's Liam Ramos right there. He handed off, and to me, it just screaming in my head like this kid is in a high risk situation. Yeah. He's being targeted by people. There's no way that his parents said it would be a good idea to put him right in the middle of this national halftime show that's that's already just being fired at. But there are people to this day that go, no, I read headlines. I saw this, I saw that.
It was him.
Wasn't.
Oh my God.
I got duped the other way around.
Okay.
One of the people that was murdered by ICE here in Minnesota, Alex Pretty, People were circulating a video of him that took place before the week before he was murdered, where he apparently kicks a taillight out of a an ICE vehicle, like he just kicks at him and, and connects.
Hero.
And I saw people saying like, "This is fake. This is AI. This is fake." And I was like, reading the comments and looking at it, and I looked at the video, and I'm like, "Yeah, I think this is fake. It's real."
Okay.
It is for sure.
It is real.
I watched it and I thought this could be a very good fake.
Right.
I understand why someone would make it. Love him even more.
Right. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But I could see that if they want to paint him in a bad light, this he was violent.
Yeah. There are a lot of people that care a lot more about property damage than the loss of human lives. I don't think any of us are in the asking for it category.
Yeah. Just like her driving the car put her in the asking for it category.
He did it a week earlier, so that's why
this country was founded on property damage. I'm sorry.
Right. Exactly. Exactly, right? So,
the tea.
I got it. I understood what you meant.
My skepticism worked against me in that instance, and I assumed something was AI because it's so
because everyone
prevalent.
Else was saying
and
it was.
You're right. No, absolutely.
Because there was definitely like a bit of a groupthink moment, and you were like, well, if all these other people say it's fake, it's probably fake.
He also was wearing the same dapper brown outfit, which I noted. I was like, he's in the same clothes.
Yeah. Same clothes,
if this
right?
was a fake...
That's probably what it would
that
do.
That might be a giveaway,
yeah.
But it also appeared real. You know,
And we are, I mean, I know that the four of us, I know you well enough from your postings about it. And I feel like, I mean, we talk all the time that all of us are pretty anti-AI, anti-generative AI, against the concept of it being employed in the art sector especially, but that it's, you know, it is genuinely like damaging, not just like, oh, it's fine. It's just stupid. No, I mean, like, I think everyone at this table knows that it's like not helpful.
It does real harm.
It does actual harm. And so like we are on the lookout for it and also don't like it. And because we don't interact with it, probably we would be seeing less of it. So now I'm trying to imagine how much AI slop is in someone's feed who likes it and who's been liking and interacting with it. So whenever I'm trying to think about how are people this stupid, which is a thought I have about 100 times a day, I try to think about like my reality in terms of social media and what I see on the internet, as it were, is a completely different internet from what a lot of the majority of Americans are seeing, not just because I don't have TikTok, but also just not engaging with AI stuff, not engaging with Christian stuff, not engaging with, you know, anyone who engages with that. So I can't imagine the kinds of fake news that's being spread.
Algorithmically determined echo chambers, where we're all, the internet that we get is like when Charlie Kirk was killed, there were people that were like, he's an angel and he has done no wrong. And
he's a good Christian man.
All of the videos they've ever seen of him have all been very positive, not just positive, but like,
Wholesome. Christian, wholesome, love and being a good Christian man, being a good parent, all of that shit.
Not
that's all they saw.
Anything controversial at all.
They didn't know that he did debates at colleges. They
no.
Didn't, yes.
No.
For real. Right. They had never heard of that.
That's his whole thing.
Right.
No, to us.
To some people.
That was why he became.
That's why he became anybody has heard of.
I didn't know he was a Christian family influencer who did parental videos and self-help shit. Had never seen. I was like, you're making that up. No.
Yeah.
Two different internets.
That could. I knew that. I know that now.
Right?
Now that you just told
fucking
me.
Fucking crazy.
And none of us have any control over what we get fed or how those algorithms are tuned. Or what ads or what sponsored content get shown to us beyond the information that we've provided the whole damn internet about our like biographical information and our data.
Which we can't really help.
It's kind of out of the box at this point. So, you know, I can't help but to think that so much of our manipulated reality that we are all experiencing subjectively together is also being algorithmically driven by people with definite like objectives in mind.
So you, Michael and Tim, you guys are both musicians.
So I've heard, allegedly.
Local Irish musicians, which I find is great. But you guys are more plugged into musical circles and things. Have you seen a lot of the AI, not just people complaining about it, but like, are there AI proponents that you've seen in your circles? Do you know people who think that it's a good tool to help, I don't know, their band or that they like doing those songs or anything like that?
I can't think of anybody who's pro AI in our circles.
No.
I think there are, you know, I mean, there's some things that I don't know if it qualifies as AI or not. I mean, is auto-tune AI?
It's not generative, you know?
No.
It depends, I guess. Yeah. To me, the AI, and we were actually just talking about this last night, like where the line is, you know, and I feel like the fully generative stuff is what to me is the biggest issue, right? When it's, I told ChatGPT to write me an Irish song like this Bruce, you know, Springsteen Streets of Minneapolis, but if it was an Irish band.
Okay, so I'll just play the devil's advocate because he clearly needs one in this world. So did anybody see the YouTube video? It went around, and I'm not going to do it justice by describing it. It was a whole bunch of drummers out on the Minneapolis Bridge.
Yes, I've seen. I heard about that event. I haven't necessarily seen the video.
And so I have a group of friends that we have a chat going, and somebody's like, "Is this a Dropkick Murphys song behind this?" It rocks. It's great.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's AI generated. It's totally AI generated.
Oh, wow.
I got it. It's not a bad Irish punk song. That said, I kind of hate my own genre because it's very, very predictable.
Yeah.
So you can AI generate the heck out of a fairly limited, not terribly
punk, especially.
Yeah, and so
Irish music too.
And so I did
punk Irish music is even easier.
There's four kinds of Irish songs.
So I did a quick dive into where does a song come from, and it was really quick because on the YouTube page the guy addressed it
and
he said, look. I'm trying to put out a political message. I don't have a big budget. I shot all this video. I'm a videographer. This is all real video that I shot, and I needed a background to it.
Because you can't it be the sound of all the drummers.
So to be a proponent, the message of the song was great. The song did actually kind of rock. It was really catchy. And he got the video out in a matter of days
for
dollars
instead
of, you know, weeks or months for... You know, Lord knows what it would have cost to license something.
I have an example that's...
I just argued that.
It was a good argument.
It's Shades of Grey.
It is.
Are you familiar with There I Ruined It?
With who?
There I Ruined It. It's a YouTube channel.
You've probably seen a video. You've
probably seen... He does a lot of like this song sung to the tune of that song type YouTube videos.
Like the Apple Bottom Jeans song, but it's to the Beach Boys. So it's like, she got them apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur.
So they get accused of being AI all the time because of what they're doing, despite all the videos pretty clearly showing their software mixer with the different tracks where they come in and leave and they're all labeled, right? So they did a video recently that was like, hey, look, here's my wife playing the violin. Here's me singing this part. Here's me singing this other part. Here's me singing a third part. And he's like, and the only part of this that's AI is the Freddie Mercury filter I put on my voice to make this sound like Queen.
Sure.
Right? And to me, like, it's generative AI, or it's a type of AI manipulation. It's beyond a simple algorithm, but it kind of feels like the vocal equivalent of, like, TikTok face filters,
or like
Instagram filters,
or filter on your photo,
or any of the drum mods. I mean,
or adding reverb on the amp
modifications. Yeah. I the things that I do in the studio to record my stuff, to record my acoustic guitar. It's like, well, let's see what it sounds like through a Marshall stack. That's actually pretty cool.
That's the AI that Apple has started including in their phones. I have found a very, very handy use for, and that's if you use their photo cleanup tool and you tap and circle someone's face, you will AI garble blur it so you can censor protest photos.
You show me how to do that later.
It's so fucking easy and it's so handy, and it's using their Apple Intelligence product to do it, but like, no one's being hurt. I'm not stealing from anyone.
Right.
It's a tool I'm using to help anonymize.
And
people.
this is where it gets to. And these tools are out there. And you can go to the medical field. You can go to the dental field. You can go to all kinds of different things that AI has great use for, or that you can be super lazy and super nasty. And you know, and
it's not going back in the box, right?
It's not. And so there are good sides of it.
You can hate it or love it or anything in between, but it's not going away,
right?
So I am...
Until the apocalypse ends all civilization, then it's gone. But there are a lot of other things we like will be gone too. So
my company has gotten into AI to the point where we are selling an AI product now. I don't want to go into too many details, but as a part of that, they are tracking our AI use adaption rates to the user level at my work, all the way up to the CEO who's on her way out. Thank goodness. I've had to look at like my team to see who's using the prompts most and if they're using Copilot versus versus Claude or ChatGPT that's branded through our company. And so what I have found in the training that I've had to take for AI, I am like level 2 AI certified and whatever. So what I have found is that predictive AI, where you're feeding it in a whole bunch of information and raw data and asking it to come to conclusions, that's a totally different product than generating things from scratch based on things that other people have done, right? And so like using computers to examine data and give you feedback on data is a very different animal than like generating stuff wholesale.
So moving on from AI, I want to talk about the idea of this other post-truth thing. So one problem that we've been seeing a lot of is, especially with the occupation that's been happening and is still continuing to happen in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and the surrounding areas especially, we are seeing people share headlines. Like you were talking about with Bad Bunny, oh, that was Liam Ramos. That was him. I saw a headline that said. So we see a lot of people who read a headline have the intended knee-jerk reaction of outrage, either positive or negative, and then they share it. And then it becomes fact. How can we combat that genuinely? Like, what do you call? I mean, I call people out when I see it. If I see someone, you know, we had this happen when the best thing I can think of is when Renee Good got murdered. Right after that, there were AI images of the ICE agent with his mask down.
Oh yeah,
right.
So they took the image of him with his mask up. That there were like two very clear images of him, his face, but his mask up, and there were like three different faces very generated.
Different. I saved that all were, those immediately.
That were very different. That were being sent around, and I think I had to comment on probably 5 or 6 friends' posts about it for about a week.
Yeah,
saying like that's not him. That's not real. That's not him. That's not real.
Dangerous, right? Because there's some guy out there who looks like that.
Yes.
Or more importantly, there's some guy out there wielding a gun that doesn't look like that.
Right.
We all aren't looking for because we're looking for some random idea of.
There was also the time when there was there was something where they were like, oh, this shooter's dad trained him. It was the Kirk shooter, I think. It was his dad was the sheriff, and it was in Trump country or whatever. And that was a fact everyone was saying was true. And it wasn't. And it just wasn't true. It was just a guy with the same name. And it took literally 2 seconds of real journalism to source it, and then being like, no, that's not it. But it was already the truth.
Yeah.
And so like, what have you done or what can you do to combat this? If anyone has anything they want to throw out there, things they've done or ideas they have.
Well, and I think Michael and I were talking about this last year, and the question is, do we? I mean, here's the thing.
It's like
this is the third conversation.
This is the hard conversation, right? Okay, like I'll give an example of Donald Trump on his Truth Social platform said there's $9 billion of fraud in the state of Minnesota.
Yes,
that's fucking impossible.
It's up to 20 now.
Yeah, and it's like he pulled that he pulled that number out of his ass, and now everybody who's a Trumper is quoting that number like it's real.
I see it in comments on news posts. They'll be like, I can think of 9 billion reasons why.
Right. And they're all like, smugly, ooh, well, look at this $9 billion worth of fraud. It's like, there is no evidence that it's anywhere near. We know what it is. And it's a fraction of that amount, but it doesn't matter because it's already the truth.
It's been said.
And if,
by the fake news guy.
If you can't combat lies with the truth,
Do can you combat them with lies?
Can you combat them with lies?
So that's, yeah, so interesting. So then what in the, let's take this instance.
And
so,
I don't know if
I
you
said
can.
It. I said
I,
it.
Yeah.
What is the instance, like, so what would you do in this situation? So they say there's $9 billion of fraud, and that's now what everyone thinks the truth is. Do we then go on the offensive somewhere else and say, actually, all of that fraud was in Wisconsin?
I have responded to people who have made that claim. I have a policy if I'm commenting or responding to someone saying something incredibly stupid on a public post to post my thing, block the person, and then typically follow it up with maybe even blocking that page that I got fed because it's probably something I don't give a shit about. What I've been saying to those people that talk about the fraud specifically is pointing out how in the last two state sessions, the Democrats and the DFL in Minnesota has tried to pass additional protections that prevent fraud and how they were universally voted down by Republicans. Mm-hmm. And it was right on party lines. So it's like, you care about $9 billion of fraud? Guess what? We probably could have caught any fraud that occurred a lot sooner if the Republicans had actually cared about preventing fraud and not just playing their partisan game.
But they also don't seem... I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, but that's fighting with truth, so...
Well, and also fighting with truth, they also don't seem to care that we're already... that it's already being prosecuted and investigated.
No.
And that all these prosecutors are now resigning because they're not allowed to do their jobs because of the current shit show that we're in.
So I'm... And I want to point out, I'm blocking this person right after I say this.
Right.
They're probably not going to see it and they'll never see it, but everyone that sees their stupid comment is going to see my response with the refutation.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And that person's not going to get a chance to respond to me.
I swear to God, that's why I still argue with strangers on the internet too, and my wife thinks I'm mad for it.
Yeah.
It's
a good reason.
Other people see
it. Other people are looking at these things and reading them, and they're also the people that go in the comments, so I don't know who.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know,
it's
but
a race to the bottom.
You guys see them sometimes, so, you know, there's some people. But,
I see if you block them like you're doing, that makes sense. What I don't like, I feel bad. I have some friends who I will see get into arguments back and forth. No, you. And it's like, come on, man. Like, that's tired.
I used to do that.
I mean, who doesn't? We've all done it. I've literally seen everyone at this table do it.
I like to think I've run out of that.
I will say that I think this idea of fighting the truth with or fighting lies with lies, I mean, I do think that, one, I think Democrats need to hit.
Yeah.
I think we have to stop. We can't be, there is no high road anymore.
We keep trying to be the good guys. No, stop it.
It makes me wildly uncomfortable. But at the same time, if you don't accept that this is the balance of power, you're going to succumb to it. And they're eating our lunch when it comes to spreading disinformation. And I think the way to combat disinformation is information. But the way you combat a party that is untethered to the truth, unfortunately, and I don't know that I want to live in that world, but unfortunately, go ahead and, you know.
Accelerate the fall.
they are using a weapon that we currently have said we're not going to use. We're once again, you know, bringing a whistle and a phone to a gunfight.
Similar to the AI thing where, Tim, you were saying it's out of the box. It's done. It's not going back in the box. We're not going to live in a world without it unless something happens drastically. Similarly, I feel like that's where we are with this disinformation and this, you know, for lack of a better term, fake news, you know, idea that it's like it doesn't matter. I mean, Kristi Noem got up there and said that Alex Pretty pulled his gun.
Yeah.
When it was
approached them with his gun drawn.
When there was him with his gun drawn.
And that he came to do maximum damage. And I just asked all the Second Amendment. I asked all the Second Amendment people in that situation to combat that. I said, hey, guys, if you were going to do maximum damage, which weapon would you choose? And none of them said a 9mm handgun.
Not.
How about if you were going to do maximum damage, why did you wait to open fire?
Right.
Yeah. And like it just, but
also,
but it doesn't.
Yeah. If that was your plan, like early in the morning before you left, and then you just lost your nerve, you brought the wrong gun.
But
you
it did. Doesn't like, matter because all that his all the followers who believe it will tell themselves is, well, that's because he's a dumb liberal, so he didn't anything that you're like, why would he do it that way? It's like because he's stupid and he's gay, and they're like, and that's why he got murdered.
You're stupid and gay. That's and what so, we should do.
I mean, for real though, but it's so what's so frustrating is I still see people in comments. I shouldn't say people accounts. I still see accounts.
Sure.
In comments, though, that will say, like, that's what you get, that he got what he deserved for interfering with law enforcement and pulling a gun on them.
Yeah.
And it's just
and
like,
showing up to a protest.
But this just didn't happen. Like, what?
It wasn't even a protest.
It wasn't a protest.
And it's so frustrating. But at the same time, it's like if there are millions of bots out there on every single, across all social media sites. And their whole deal is they're commenting what the lie was and repeating the lie, even though it's been disproven. Then everyone's going to believe vaccines cause autism. Right. It doesn't fucking matter.
So you, I think you're raising an interesting point there by saying accounts and not necessarily people.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a really important distinction between misinformation and disinformation.
Okay.
So misinformation is inadvertently false or misleading information. You're wrong. You're an idiot. You
researched something. That was Liam Ramos at Bad Bunny.
We've
it was him.
Every one of us has at some point or another done a little misinformation on the side as a treat or an accident, right? Disinformation.
Never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
That's right.
Exactly.
Someone's stand-up act. That's all misinformation. His wife didn't say that. No. Disinformation is purposely and intentionally misleading information. It's you know, propaganda kind of, right?
Yeah.
And then
Christy Noem standing up there and saying that Alex Pretty pulled his gun and was advancing on officers.
She's not wrong. She's lying.
Yes.
There's an intent, with intent there. Right. And so bots and propaganda accounts, you know, click farms, you hear a lot of them that are run like by Russia or like Mossad has a really, really active internet propaganda machine set up. China has a lot. North Korea is pretty great.
Trump has one too.
And the United States is
what?
And all that company, what do these all have to say? The
United States is hand in glove with Israel's online propaganda systems and techniques. So, like that stuff, I don't know how you beat that other than if billionaires suddenly grow consciousnesses, like they feel bad about their actions, that's not going to happen.
Billionaires, or the ones that are mostly psychopaths.
Right, yeah. Or legislation, like laws and guardrails.
Democrats, but they don't have spines, Nicholas. Right. They can't do anything.
Yeah. So, like, I think that's the long-term solution. The only thing that's going to get us out of it is, like, legal guardrails and economic consequences.
We need AI deepfake porn of every senator. That is the only thing that will change it.
I mean, and pretty much it needs to be gay porn of every male senator.
Because it needs to just, yes.
That will hurt them with their base.
It's the pig fucking Black Mirror episode.
It is the pig fucking Black Mirror episode, yes.
But AI deepfakes.
It is one of the only things that can get them to realize it's bad.
South Park did for Trump in their last season with the videos of Trump and South Park that were half AI generated, half physical actor.
Yes.
With the tiny penis in the desert. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of also tired of like scoring points.
It's not about scoring points. They need to have personal consequences to think anything matters.
Yeah.
And so when something actually happens to them, then all of a sudden they care and they pass legislation. Like, that's the only thing that they are self-interested.
Lies.
If something hurts their billionaire money, if something hurts their stocks, then all of a sudden senators give a shit about it. All of a sudden they care so much about it. And then they don't care about it when it doesn't, you know, like COVID. Right. Oh my God, we got to do something about this. The economy, we all got to pull together and fix this. And then now it's hurting our stocks to have to give a shit about COVID. So now we all have to stop giving a shit about COVID. Everyone go back to work, stop masking. Everyone go have parties. Everyone go back to partying downtown and spending money downtown together. Unmasked.
No more work from home.
Yep. No more work from home so that landlords don't lose money. We love them too. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. Revenge deepfake porn.
Nothing but the most ethical solutions.
I'm super uncomfortable with it. But at the same time, you know, when things start to work for the other side, the Olympics just happened. If you guys watched the group speed skating, they used to jockey who came in, who was first in the speed skaters. Well, the U.S., I was just hearing today that they retooled the whole thing where all three skaters stay in the exact same position the whole time. And now everybody in the world does it. That's the way the game is played.
Wow.
Because it's 12 years ago. Everybody, they used to be switching who was the lead.
Back in the 80s.
So that's what started winning, and we just got beat. We just took silver because
everybody else figured out how to do it.
Because
they're
also doing it the same way. And so when you watch somebody winning, and I'm so uncomfortable with that.
Back in the 80s, the way you ski jumped is you jumped with your skis parallel, and then somebody figured out that if you actually crossed them at the back, you flew further.
Sure.
And so in like 6 months...
Everybody
who did ski jumping completely changed the way they jumped.
The first guy that jumped high enough to put the ball right into the basket, Can you that? Can you dunk?
Just right in there.
It's
we just throw it from the ground. That's how you play the game.
Total non sequitur. You guys heard about the penis gate stuff with the Olympics?
With the ski jumpers trying to inflate their penis or something?
Everyone's uniforms have to be no extra fabric, and they determine who gets extra fabric or not by measurements of your body. Objective shit, right? Everyone gets this many millimeters of fabric, whatever. So people have started injecting their dicks with a like temporary growth treatment that like porn stars use a lot that plumps your dick so that they can get like an extra couple millimeters of fabric in the junk area
because it creates drag, which keeps you in the air longer.
Right. Dick filler.
And they said if you can increase the surface area of the crotch of your ski uniform by even just 5%, you can extend your length of time in the air by more than five. It's like a huge payoff for the small amount of fabric.
Were the women plumping their lips?
I can't speak to that.
Like, I mean, I guess you could just like get some Tiger Balm and rub it on there, and that would do it. Like.
But it's. Just crazy.
I mean, that's probably more legal than injecting it with something, right?
If you look right
suck
now,
I was just cutting jalapenos for an hour and then I went to the bathroom and I competed in my sports.
If you look right now, one of the most successful things anybody's doing, you've got Gavin Newsom out in California who's basically posting on his socials.
Shit posting
on his socials like Donald Trump, only liberal shit.
I hate him so much.
Gavin Newsom.
Whether you like him or not, it doesn't matter. Yeah, what I'm saying is it's working.
I like what he's doing. Because I don't want him to be president. It's fine that someone's doing that, and it's fine that he's taking the piss. But that's not gonna make me come around and go, yeah, he'd be a good president.
I hate how many of my friends
for the same reason. I don't think we have a good president right now.
The main quality I look for in a president isn't ability to troll someone on Twitter.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah. The thing I hate the most is how many of my friends are like, oh my god, teehee, we got him, guys, got him, and it's like, this is not accomplishing anything.
That's what I meant by scoring points. I just don't.
Yeah,
like it's the blue MAGA shit.
But you're right,
the
Tim.
Super super liberal.
You're right,
shit.
Tim. He's who Pelosi's
liberal,
pushing.
Pejorative.
He's like, who Pelosi's pushing for 2028.
Absolutely.
Because they're billionaires together. Ew.
Yeah.
I think that because we are in this post-truth society, one of the hardest things that's going to be is going forward. And I think that going forward, the best thing you can do is. I will be honest, I like Reddit for getting information, but not necessarily news, because it is just people reported news. If you live in Minneapolis, St. Paul area, there are local on the street kind of gonzo journalists you can follow, like Wedge Live, Taylor Dolan, Unicorn Ryan,
Mercado Media.
They are actually doing journalism all the time, not just during crazy uprising times, but like
The Racket.
The Racket is another good one. You don't need to get your news from WCCO's Facebook page. You don't need to get your news even from NPR's Facebook page, because honestly, it's still full of the bullshit comments.
Although I will say NPR has been Minnesota Public Radio has been doing really good reporting over, in my opinion, over the occupation recently.
They do good unbiased reporting, I feel, personally.
I stopped donating to them when Trump got elected the first time around because I thought they did really poor reporting and I thought they did very cautious reporting. And I feel, I wish they got their federal funding back, but I do feel like they're a little bit untethered right now from worrying that they're going to get their funding cut because they got it cut.
Right.
Yeah.
So now the gloves are off.
Their gloves are off, and I don't feel like they're taking things in a further biased manner. They're just reporting things honestly and going, these are the things that are like Nazis.
Right.
We're not saying they're Nazis, but these are the things that are just like what happened in this order.
Yeah.
It's their previous use of things like the passive voice were so alarmingly centrist that they couldn't help but to favor like fascists.
Yeah.
Basically.
Because centrism favors fascists.
It always does. And so like, that's what really irked me about them the most. What was like, it wasn't just like, just say he fucking lied. Just say he said something racist. You don't have to like couch it in all this careful legal language. Just call it what it
is.
He's
going to sue you anyway.
Or he's going to take away your funding anyway. Yeah. And he certainly did. So now I feel like maybe they're a little bit less careful about that.
Tim, I know that you, when you drive around a lot, you listen to the radio.
I do.
When you do that, I don't listen to the radio really at all. Do you hear a lot? Are there commercials or are there radio? Do you feel like any of this fake news stuff has made its way into standard radio? Not necessarily listening to NPR, but like just regular commercial radio.
It doesn't feel like it, although there are a few stations where there's like Newsmax ads and shit like that.
Oh, shit, yeah.
There's a pro-life ad that makes me want to throw my radio out of my car every time it starts playing. Uh-huh. But then I just change the station because I'd rather listen to a CarMax ad than, than that shit. But for the most part, no, they are really careful to stay super non-controversial.
Okay.
Like I posted about this just yesterday. There was one, they were talking on President's Day about what's a president that we could say that we like that wouldn't be controversial. And they're not even trying to talk about. They're like, what's a president we can say we like that won't piss somebody off? That's right. All they were trying to come up with.
Who's president? That no one has a problem with is what they're really trying to say.
And they came down to Lincoln and Washington, and finally settled on Washington. And I'm like, oh, so between the two of you, pick the slaveholder.
Very first guy.
Okay, I mean, I get it. There's a lot of reasons to like Washington, but also you pick the slaveholder.
Yeah.
So.
A man of his time.
Even that is fraught, right? Because there are reasons you can argue that Lincoln was not great.
Right.
Right.
So that's what you hear on the, and I stopped listening to NPR because there would be situations where they'd be like, okay, well, here's what the Democrats in the legislature are saying, and they've got a really clear, well-reasoned thing for why they're doing what they're doing. And then they bring a Republican on because they have to. And I'm like, this Republican is a complete fucking idiot.
And now Lisa Damoth.
You don't need to bring the other side on all the time if the other side doesn't have anything useful to say.
Yeah.
So I had a thought the other day about this topic. And I was just trying to think of... when this started being as bad as it is, like when it started to get bad or when I noticed it first, like active, like disinformation and the lies and stuff.
Tea party.
I even wrote it down right here. Like Tea party, right?
Yep, that's
like,
exactly.
I feel like that was when it was like, we can get away with lying in politics, like more than usual. We can get away with overt lies and we can win. Dope. It's on.
There wasn't even Tea Party started before like social media and iPhones, really. Like if you think about how, like before smartphones, before when people were on social media, they had to be on a computer.
Yep.
And I think for me, I think the thing that changed it, that made it the worst, is honestly the invention of the smartphone is what it changed so much, because now everyone could videotape themselves and everything all the time.
Yeah.
And that's really the first thing that led to people just believing things so fast.
Well, as soon as
it spreads so fast,
And
as soon as you start giving Michelle Bachmann air, right? You know,
she lied all the time.
She was a Tea Party original, right? And NPR would be like, well, here's something Michelle Bachmann said, and I'm like, but she's crazy. This isn't some reasonable corner of the Republican Party. This is a crazy person, and we should be just saying she's a crazy person.
Yeah. Well, and like I think what's interesting too is we realized so quickly that we're all at this table old enough to remember like Dan Quayle just getting like just roasted for misspelling a word.
Dean Cain's weird shout.
All the things that just ruined people politically before this that now are like it doesn't even matter. Like getting caught lying was like Nixon got caught lying and it ended his presidency.
Yep.
And now it's like no one gives a shit.
The president can shit himself during a press conference. And nobody even brings it up.
Yeah. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's the kind of disinformation I like.
Yeah.
if it's not true.
If you watch the video,
I imagine it's true.
It looks like he shit.
Yeah. And it sounds like it.
Before we get to five questions, just one note about, Tim, the thing you said about on the radio them being like, what president can we name that isn't controversial? My first response is always, first, I want you to name all the presidents you know.
I was going to say, why not pick one that no one knows anything about?
You go, can you get through all 45 or 44, whatever it ends up being? Like,
Chester A. Arthur. Just go for Chester A. Arthur. What do you know shit about Chester A. Arthur?
Tell me two things about Taft.
He had his own bathtub built for himself because he was a very robust man.
That's one.
And my friend carries a picture of him riding riding a rhinoceros, and the rhinoceros also looks pained. So I guess that's still one fact. But
that's what I'm saying. Everyone only knows one thing.
Tim, I thought you said Chest Ray Arthur, which is like,
that sounds like a really good character name for a tingler.
Yeah, like a golden age, like Buck Rogers
or
kind
it's
of
a very southern
dude.
Name. My name is Chest Ray Arthur.
Chest Ray Arthur here to save you from the Martians.
He's the only other person who served non-consecutive terms as president. Anyway,
there you go. All right. But it's time to get on to five questions.
We have five questions.
Ask our guests and we sent them to Michael and he's going to answer them and it's going to be great.
I'm so excited.
All right.
I forgot.
So I'm going to start and then we'll go to Nick and then to Tim.
Okay, great. Back that means me. I know which question I'll be asking.
All right. Question one. What is a game you have played recently that you really enjoyed? It can be any definition of game that you use.
Oh, any definition. Well, I've been playing the game of Fix My House to try to sell it. But I didn't know that. The last game I played was actually a lot of fun. It was called, I had to text them today to ask them the name of it, Solar Gardens. Very low stakes, low stress game. You kind of build this game with cards and you rack up points for how long your path is or how many gardens you get consecutive. It was really just kind of zen and fun. Yes, it's a card game, but they're like placards, kind of like
tiles.
Like the tiles, like from Catan.
Tiles.
Yeah.
Are you playing?
That's it. That's the one. You can drink a cocktail to it. It's not highbrow.
Are you playing against each other to score, or are you kind of scoring together?
You're each making your own garden.
Okay.
And then when you run out of tiles, you add it up.
And then
nobody's like, oh, you bastard. You built a better garden than I did. Fun way to pass time and have a conversation and have some drinks.
That sounds fun.
I like games that are totally immersive. But there are some times when I just want to catch up with friends and have something on the table to do.
100%.
That's a
lovely little game.
That is Darrington Press, which is the company that worked with Matt Mercer to put out Daggerheart, the TTRPG system that he made for Critical Role, so that they don't have to pay Hasbro money.
Fantastic.
Question two, which I totally had ready and then I Googled something, is what's a science fact or discovery that you think is really fucking cool?
I get to answer this one?
You do.
This one I know the answer to. Do you guys know about glowing cats?
No.
What about glowing cats?
So it's sort of a scientific thing. It's sort of a folklore storytelling thing. So there are... And I admit it's a small group of people, but there are people that are concerned about what to do with spent nuclear fuel and what we do with it.
Sure.
In the long term, given the fact that society could collapse, that we could have something that could completely, like right now.
It could happen very
quickly.
Right now,
you know, we take some of it and we bury it in the ground and we lock it up and we say that's safe. We know its half-life. We know how it's going to react. But if things completely collapse, but humanity continues. We know our species. We're a curious bunch. How do we stop people from doing that? So if we can bioengineer cats that when they're in the presence of nuclear material, they glow.
Ooh.
And then we can start telling stories, because stories last way longer than the
like
written word.
Fey creatures.
That if you see glowing cats, you stay away from that area.
Oh, sure.
Now we have engineered a way that cats are going to continue to live. We're going to continue to tell stories around the campfire, especially if everything collapses. So we tell these stories of glowing cats. They sound like nothing that's going to happen. But when you actually see one, you run.
It only would take a few generations of humanity continuing for people to not actually actively remember anything about nuclear programs without someone having told them over and over, or them finding books, books would still exist in a societal collapse unless there's fires.
But at one point, do they stop accepting books as facts?
True.
Have you seen the long-term nuclear waste storage warning messages that they've written?
Oh, yeah.
Things that are like the messages are, they're written in many languages. They're accompanied by, like, it's like the Voyager discs, right? Yeah. Where it's like there's handy picture graphics and there's lots of different languages. And it basically says things like, there is nothing here. You will only find death. This place will kill you and your family. Don't touch anyone here.
Do not settle here.
And you will know it by the glowing
cast. Yes.
It's very, very like non-scientific language about like how you're going to die if you dig here.
I've seen it on
glowing cats. I like better. Question number three. Where do you get your morality? Because, and we haven't talked about this, I don't know if religion is something to you or not, but we assume you don't get your morality from religion.
I am not a religious person, but that doesn't mean that I wasn't raised religious. My parents are Catholic. I was raised with a, you know, middle class white Catholic upbringing. Irish Catholic. But I think I got a lot of my morality from that, because when I hear the thing that drives me away from religion is the morality that I learned from my religion when I was a child.
Morality, maybe not sin, more of a right and wrong.
Yeah, more golden rule stuff. Yeah. But the things that just get me going are the Christians and how un-Christ-like they tend to be. Like I like to quote Christ as an atheist.
He's a cool dude.
You know, did some cool stuff. You know, didn't really get hung up on all the things that Christians are hung up on.
Real socialist motherfucker. Yeah. Read the words.
Yeah. Didn't get hung up about things that Christians get hung up about, and did a lot of things that Christians don't seem to do.
Two rules: love God, love yourself, and your neighbors.
Yep. So,
yeah.
I can do one of those.
Yeah. Question four: if you could build a robot to perfectly perform one chore or task for the rest of your life, what would you do the robot? What would you make the robot do?
I only spent time thinking about my smart ass answer is that I really don't like cleaning the house. And if I had something that could just like run around my rooms and just vacuum for me, that
like
would be,
a, like
and
a I think I could make a lot
of,
vacuum.
I think I could take a lot of money if I had like a robot vacuum, if I invented that. I think
they
people
do
would
make
buy
robot
it.
Vacuums.
No.
I'm going to be shocking you to tell you. I think you can buy those.
Oh.
Her name's Rosie. She costs a lot of money.
That's what I named my robot vacuum as Rosie. Big Jetsons fan.
I like when people get upset about robot vacuums. They're like, well, then I have to pick up. And it's like, no, I mean, you do.
It goes you around would, the pickup. You would have the to, shit you left on
you
your
would
floor.
Have to pick up if you vacuumed yourself, though, right?
My parents are getting on in age, and they've got a woman that comes in and cleans once a week, and they also have to pick up before she comes over.
I know, right?
That's what we do too.
The maid's coming. We need to clean. We can't let her know we live like this.
Yeah. I think the best thing about having a maid is that once a week you clean your house.
Yeah, it's called accountability. It's a clean coach.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm a socialist, not a monster. If someone's being paid to clean my home, I am going to make it as easy on them as possible.
Correct.
Set out snacks and water. I got the whole thing
personal,
going.
Personal trainer for house hygiene.
Yeah.
All right, question five. What's a movie or TV show you think everyone should watch?
There's so many out there right now. Here's one that you probably haven't heard of.
Perfect.
That I love, but we just finished it. It's called Fisk.
Mm.
Yeah, so you haven't heard of it. Cool.
No.
Heard of
it.
Yeah.
It's great. It's Australian. It's very Australian.
I love Australian
but it's about
stuff.
It's about a probate lawyer, wills. Lawyer,
sure.
Probate? Is that the no? That's not the right word.
Yeah,
estate
lawyer.
Yeah, I don't know. They use a number of legal terms.
Yeah, it's Australian law too, so
it's
different.
Not a law show. It's a comedy show. So the lead character Fisk, she's a stand-up comedian. Not in the show in real life.
Yeah,
and their office manager also a stand-up comedian. So the acting is stellar. It's such dry, funny. It's 22 to 24 minutes of light, just really, really funny stuff.
I love Australian comedy.
Where
I think
you
they're
find
very
it?
Funny.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
But yeah, check out Fisk. It's a lot
it's
of fun.
Like at least four seasons or something like that.
Fun.
Three or four seasons, yeah.
I need a new show. That's great.
Yeah.
No, it's
look
lovely.
Forward
you know,
to our upcoming
on
episode on Fisk.
Has been on Taskmaster Australia.
Probably.
That's
probably.
All I know about funny people in Australia.
I don't
know. Okay.
I,
all right, well. Just thought I'd ask. Sorry.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Michael. This has been
it's
great.
Been a pleasure.
Oh, you can catch Michael. He's a member of the Langer's Ball. Mm-hmm. And where are you guys playing next?
When does this podcast go out?
About a month.
Yeah, about a month. Right around St. Patrick's Day time.
Then we'll be at the Dubliner sometime.
This might
after
actually
this.
Go up on St. Patrick's Day now that about it.
I think we're playing at the Dubliner in St. Paul like the Saturday after St. Patrick's Day.
Okay, so that's even perfect. This will go up.
Come
for
see the Dregs tonight at the Water Street Inn. Anyway.
Fantastic.
I don't think we have a St. Patrick's Day gig. We just moved back here.
Want to come and watch the Dregs at the Water Street Inn?
Yeah, maybe.
It's going to be a great show.
I like the Water
anyway,
Street Inn.
Yeah.
And then you guys play at various Renaissance festivals across the country,
We're
right?
playing at a few Renaissance festivals this year. We'll be at the Sleepy Hollow Renaissance Festival in Des Moines. We'll be at the Bristol Renaissance Festival in Kenosha. And we'll be at the Maryland Renaissance Festival in Annapolis, Maryland.
Hell yeah. Fuck yeah. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening to us. We've been Geeks Without God, as always. You can find us on Blue Sky. You can find us on Patreon if you want to throw us some money. And then maybe listen to this early and be like, ooh, I'm fancy. And I helped donate money to supplies at Mutual Aid during the Minneapolis occupation.
You also can't find us on Twitter, even though the bumper that we recorded 10 years ago still says that you can.
So that's, you may be hearing that. So that's the bumper we recorded for when we can't record the bumpers live, whenever we record remotely. So apologies that you keep having to hear that disgusting website's name.
It's a lie.
So every time you hear Twitter, just remember it's actually Blue Sky because Twitter is dead to us.
It doesn't even exist anymore.
It doesn't even exist anymore. And we don't even think about it.
Everything from Twitter is a lie.
Exactly. Ooh, all right, topical. We'll see you next Tuesday. Bye.
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 I just celebrated 15 years at my job.
Big news.
That sounds like AI.
Aww.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
There's a place I love that does custom booty shorts, and I have seen booty shorts with that on them.
Yes.